MacCast, Monday, February 21st, 2005. Hey Mac Geeks, live from New York, this is your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, so we're in New York, and I just got back from having an awesome, awesome dinner. This is my second trip to New York, and I have to say that the food here is excellent. They just have an awesome selection of restaurants, and dinner was delicious. Unfortunately, however, my trip to New York is going to be very brief and all business. I am in meetings tomorrow along with doing work-related stuff all day, and then I fly out early Wednesday, so I'll be back in San Diego recording the podcast in the home studio for you. So I'm not going to get to see that great Christo exhibit of the gates in Central Park that everybody's been talking about or I've been reading about. So I'm a little bummed about that, but I'm having a good time so far, and we'll probably continue to have a good time here in New York tomorrow. So I've got the trusty old Logitech USB microphone that I started out podcasting with set up, so hopefully it sounds okay. I don't have my new high-end gear that I've been using recently to record the podcast. What's really missing is my pop filter, so I'm sorry for all of you who are on car stereos or home stereos if it sounds a little poppy, or you're getting a little crackle in your speakers and things like that. But this is what we have to do on the road. This is the equipment I have available to me, so I'm just going to let it run this way. So it looks like Apple might be in the market for a new game developer for the iPods. They recently posted a job listing on a gaming industry website called Gamma Sutra, and they are seeking a programmer with experience in working with embedded systems, which to me sounds a lot like the iPod. They are going to be responsible for developing memory and performance optimized software and solutions to complex problems, according to Apple. That's a little vague there. But an interesting thing about this posting is they're also mentioning that they would like, as optional experience, someone with experience with the ARM7 RISC processor, which is a processor, I believe, that is used for more commonly PDAs and cell phone type devices. ARM was the original processor, I believe, that was in the Apple Newton. And so it's a little more high-end than what you find in your typical iPod. I believe the iPod still uses the Portal Player processor, if I'm not mistaken. And they are also, as optional experience, listing Flash gaming experience and 2D and 3D graphics programming knowledge, which, again, points to Apple doing something a little more high-end. I'm not really sure what it's all about. The Flash gaming, I do know that Macromedia has been working very hard to build embedded versions of their Flash player in different devices, cell phones, PDAs, and things. So that may go to support the fact that, like we talked about on last show, Apple may be releasing more iPods with color screens, and maybe they're going to add embedded Flash to enhance games and other applications, which that would be really cool to see if we could have Flash on iPods, which kind of also opens up some pseudo-video type applications. And that would fall in line with 2D and 3D graphics experience, because I do know that there's Flash games obviously take advantage of 2D, and there's also some 3D type capabilities built into Flash. So we'll just have to wait and see on that, but definitely something interesting going on in the iPod arena in regards to gaming. So we all know demand for the iPod Shuffle, ever since it's been released, has been huge. Actually, on the flight over today, I just saw a gazillion iPods. About every other passenger on the plane, it seemed like, had an iPod, and the guy right across the row from me actually had a Shuffle. But Toshiba is saying that they're having a hard time keeping up with Apple's demand for the flash memory chips that go into making the iPod Shuffle. And they're actually going to be increasing their spending on semiconductors by 13% next year in order to help meet the demand of flash chips from people like Apple. So hopefully the Shuffle shortage will end soon. Apple probably is going to have to go out and find another supplier for those flash memory chips for the iPod Shuffles to keep up demand, just like they did with the minis, apparently, by switching or by eliciting the help of Seagate in addition to Hitachi. the iPod Photo is now the next victim in our little delayed shipping on the Apple Online Store conspiracy theory. At least that's what we might as well call it. It seems like every iPod now has had its ship date pushed back from shipping to next day. In this case, with the Photo, it's shipping in 2 to 4 days, I believe, so it's not the 7 to 10 day pushback like we've seen in the other iPods. But everything then now is pointing to the fact that there's something big going on in the iPod arena. And I'm guessing, and it's being reported, that it's possibly a major restructuring of the iPod lineup. And there's talk about the fact that iPod Photo sales have lagged very far behind the other iPod models. So it would make sense, if Apple's going to put a color screen on the iPod Mini, that they may be thinking about putting color screens across the line. And there's multiple things that seem to be pointing to that. We already mentioned the gaming possibilities with Flash. This is just another little hint that something's changing in the world of iPods. And it's going to be great to see if Apple does put color screens across the board and kind of restructures how they're doing the iPod. There's a lot of new MP3 and video type devices, handheld video type, personal video type devices coming out that have color screens and color capabilities and video capabilities. So it'd be really nice to see color screens across all iPods, like I mentioned before, especially if pricing can stay the same. Even better if prices drop a little bit. And as I mentioned on the last show, the rumor is Wednesday will be the date for some sort of announcement, and we're hoping it's the iPod stuff. All right, we only have one little bit of news to cover for tonight. Because I did the show so late on Saturday, there's not much news to go over. But the last little thing, and I knew about this before, but I neglected to comment on it because I'm just kind of tired of all the lawsuit stuff. But Apple is facing another lawsuit. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of details. It's a class action suit in this case from three different legal firms, and they're accusing Apple of reselling old equipment and calling it new. So I'm assuming this has something to do with a refurbished program. And I've actually purchased refurbished products from Apple, and I've been very, very satisfied with them. But apparently they were refurbishing products and selling them as new, or that's what's being alleged. Stealing customers away from independent resellers. Well, we already talked a little bit about that with McAdam, and it sounds like that's a little bit of embellishment maybe on the part of the independent resellers. They're not really happy about Apple having put in the retail stores and competing, or as they're alleging, not competing. And, you know, there's a lot of debate on that. And if you want to chime in, send me an email or an audio comment. But I made the comment that I thought the retail stores were in the correct, saying that Apple probably was doing some unfair things. And I got a response back saying that from most people's experience, at least with the stores mentioned, McAdam and, I can't remember the other one, but that those retail stores, at least those specific ones, the service was really not up to par, and that's more likely the case of why they were unable to compete when the Apple retail stores moved in. And the last thing that's alleged in this lawsuit is that Apple was not honoring warranty service repairs for these resellers, so thereby not enabling them to get paid for warranty service, I guess, that they performed. So, like I said, I'm not really happy about reporting about another lawsuit, but it is news and it is related to Apple, so I wanted to throw it out there for you. All right, on to comments, because I've been getting a lot of really, really great feedback, as always. Right up front, I want to make a comment about your feedback. While I love to get it, and I love to listen to MP3 audio comments, and please, please keep sending them. Don't let what I'm about to say deter you at all. But many of the comments I've been receiving are very long. I've been getting ones up to 10, 15 minutes long. And I really want to, as much as possible, be able to put your feedback into the MacCast. I want to be able to play it back. So it would really help me if you're going to make a comment and if you want to get it played on the show. Now, it's okay if you want to record a really long comment and it's just for me to listen to, but if you want to have the possibility of getting your feedback or comment played on the show, I need you to keep those types of comments under 2 minutes in length. Otherwise, they're just too long to play during the show, and it just breaks up the flow of the show, and it's hard for me to make responses to. So if you do have many comments, because a lot of case what happens is someone wants to make two or three comments about something I said. If you could break those up into two or three separate files that are about 2 minutes or less each, that would really help me out, because I just don't have time to go back through and edit out the good parts of those comments with all the other pre-production I have to do for the show. It's just too difficult. So I'd appreciate it if you could help me out there. And when you send your comments, keep your comments down to 2 or 3 minutes. Thanks. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the show opener. I use the music from Man in the Marbles. And I appreciate them letting me use that, but I had been thinking for a long time it would be nice to have some sort of theme to open the MacCast with, and I threw it out for listeners to send me MP3 files, because I know you all are a creative bunch of people. And I got a great little piece back that I thought was a lot of fun, and I started using it, or I used it in a couple shows. And while I enjoyed it and I thought it was really nice and I appreciated the listener for putting it together for me, I got some feedback from a lot of people that they didn't like me changing the intro opener to the show. And now I've got another piece from a friend of the show, Simon Toon, if you guys remember, we played some of his music back on an earlier podcast, and he sent me a theme song for the MacCast to use as a show opener. So I want to play it for you. And I want to get your feedback and I want you to tell me what you think. Can we change up the opener to the MacCast, or are you guys really set on the Man in the Marbles tune that I always use? And have you become so comfortable with it that we can't even change it ever? The reason I'm asking is, like I mentioned, I had wanted to have sort of a custom, my own MacCast theme, and I thought that would be really great, but. I do have permission to use the Manda and the Marbles track, so I can continue to use that if you guys really want. The one thing I do want to say is it possible? What do you think about, since you are all creative people and you've sent me some great stuff in the past, if we continue to maybe on Friday have the Friday opener of the week, something like that, where each Friday we play a brand new opener from a listener. I think that'd be a lot of fun, and then maybe we can satisfy the best of both worlds. But let me know what you think. I'm going to play Simon's little intro. I think it's really neat, and I'm glad he took the time to put it together for me, and I really appreciate it, so I want to share it.
If you want all the Mac news, the trolling websites gives you the blues, you need the MacCast. On the train or in your car, it doesn't matter where you are, you've got the MacCast. It's the show for Mac geeks, made by a Mac geek. This is your MacCast.
All right, so thanks, Simon. This is your MacCast. So I think, now that I think more about it, I think the idea of having a occasional guest show opener would be really fun, and it is your guys' show, as I've always said. So, if you want to take the time to, spend the creative efforts to put something together for me, I think I should be able to use it. Let me know what you think. I think we can have an occasional guest show opener once in a while. All right, last show, I threw out a comment or question about show length and the use of show notes. I wanted to know how you guys felt about me going over my self-imposed 20-minute time limit, and then also about how many of you were using show notes. And I had Clark send in a comment, and this is what he had to say about it.
Hey, I'm Clark, 15 years old, and I take the school bus to school every single day, and it's a very long bus ride, so I like the longer shows a lot. On the flip side, though, I have dial-up, so it takes a very long time to download. But I don't think that's a problem for most of the Mac geeks, because I think almost everyone has high-speed internet nowadays. So I recommend that you keep the shows running long. Thanks. Bye.
All right, thank you, Clark. And Clark's sentiments were echoed by many, many listeners. So I think there's no problem with anyone if I let the show run a little long. I'm actually just resolved, and I've decided myself that I will let it be as long as it needs to be. If it needs to be 15, 20 minutes, then it'll be 15, 20 minutes. If it needs to be 40 minutes, then it'll be 40 minutes. I probably will try to not go over an hour, But famous last words, now that I've said I won't go over an hour, I'll probably have a show over an hour. So that's the way it goes. As far as the show notes go, I had many, many people comment, and apparently a lot of you are using the show notes. So those are going to stay as well. They take a little bit of effort to put together, but as long as you're using them, I'm happy to continue to do that. So you will continue to find, at least for the foreseeable future, the show notes at the maccast.com website. Okay, the last few shows, we've been having a little debate about the eMac versus the Mac Mini, and I had David call in, and he has a little different perspective, a perspective from the educational point of view.
Hey, Adam. Dennis H. here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thanks for a really great show, and thanks for the information you've been providing. Last week, you're asking for comments from listeners about Mac Mini versus the eMac, and I think one thing Apple needs to consider is, or still consider, is the educational market, even though it's not as big of their pie as it once was. I teach in a high school where we have about 400 eMacs, and really our two choices were at the time the eMac or the flat panel iMac, and really the flat panel iMac was just was about $300 or $400 more per machine, and so in a public educational setting, obviously the eMac won out. You know, having the eMac versus the Mac Mini, you know, the Mac Mini would have so many more cables sitting there and just be, even though the footprint's pretty small, the Mac Mini, I think having those additional cables then would not be something that would be conducive to a lab setting where we have lots of students going in and out throughout the day. So I think Apple still needs to really consider what are they going to have for that middle level type machine that's going to be sitting in a general purpose lab where lots of students are going to access it that can take the wear and tear daily. And still make it affordable for education to be able to purchase. And I don't think the iMac G5 is that machine yet. And I don't think the iMac Mini is there because of the extra wires. But anyway, that's just my two cents on it. And once again, hey, thanks for all the information, and have a great day.
All right, that was actually Dennis, not David, so sorry about that, Dennis. So Dennis makes some good points about the eMac. Another thing I wanted to mention that I received feedback on regarding the eMac versus the Mac Mini, in at least in terms of an educational environment, is that obviously the eMac is a much larger machine, and even though the Mac Mini does have a lockdown slot where you can add a, I believe it's a Kensington or a Kingston lock, cable lock to the Mac Mini, theft is a problem to think about in the education market, and the Mac Mini can easily slip into a bag or a backpack and slip out unnoticed, whereas you're going to have a really hard time slipping a giant eMac, a 17-inch CRT eMac into your knapsack and getting it out of a school lab or something like that. So sounds like the general consensus is that the eMac is here to stay, or at least has a place in the Apple lineup for a few more years. So now we have a little Apple mystery, an iTunes mystery. I received a email or an audio comment from Tim in DC, and he had a question or a little mystery that he wanted us to help him solve. So I'll let him tell you about it.
Hi, Adam. This is Tim in D.C. Came up with something puzzling that I was curious if you or one of the other MacCast listeners out there could shed some light on. I was fiddling around with iTunes, and I set up an AirTunes network with a set of external Bose speakers, and I was taking a look at some of the radio stations, the streaming radio that you can listen to through iTunes. One of the folders, of course, is the public radio section, and I'm an avid NPR listener, and I was curious to listen to some of the different stations from around the country. Now, WNYC out of New York worked perfectly fine, went through the AirTunes outside, came out of the Bose speakers externally here, but curiously enough, KQED out of San Francisco did not. Every single time I tried listening to KQED through the stream, through AirTunes into the Bose, it automatically shifted back into my computer speakers. I wonder if Apple has some kind of an agreement with KQED, or if there's some kind of a limitation on whether or not KQED can be used through AirTunes, or if this just happens to be a glitch for this particular day. Now, I will tell you, I went back and tried it in all sorts of different ways, quit out of iTunes, did a whole host of things to check to see if it was just a one-time-only thing, some kind of a glitch. Doesn't seem that that's the case. Wondering if you could shed some light on it or kick this out to the listeners. Maybe someone out there knows what's going on. Thanks again. Keep up the good work.
Well, Tim, since I obviously don't know what's going on, I'm going to kick it out to the listeners. So I'm sending it out to listeners. What is going on here? Has anybody had this experience? And I would assume it's not just KQED, but maybe something with specific streaming tracks off of iTunes. Maybe it has to do with the encoding format. I know that different stations broadcast at different bit rates. So maybe the lower end bit rates or higher end bit rates won't stream to an AirTunes. I haven't experienced it personally myself, but I don't listen to a lot of the iTunes radio stations through my Airport Express. So anybody have any idea what's going on here? I really don't think, Tim, that it's a conspiracy or some sort of agreement between Apple and KQED in terms of how to broadcast to AirTunes. So I don't think you have to worry about that. I think it's something more technical going on here. And my guess, just off the top of my head, is that it's going to be related to the bit rate that they're broadcasting at. All right, last thing tonight is I have to admit something to my listeners, and I'm a little ashamed about it, so, you know, please go easy on me, but I am now PodcastAlley.com's whipping boy. I'm a slave to PodcastAlley.com. I've, you know, had the power of being in the top 10, and I'm addicted to it, and I keep promising that I won't bring this up, but I can't help myself. I'm just addicted. I love being in the top 10. It's brought some great exposure for the show. I think it's really good for all of us in general, since it is our podcast. We're getting more and more great feedback, and I'm getting more response, and I think it helps everyone. So I want you to go back over to PodcastAlley.com and vote for the MacCast if you hadn't. We slipped a spot. We've been in the eighth position, solid eighth position, for a really long time, and now the snowmobilers are beating us. Yes, that's right, a snowmobile podcast. So somehow I have this theory that snowmobilers are more fanatical than Mac people, and I think we should prove them wrong. I think we need to head over to PodcastAlley.com and vote for the MacCast and push this MacCast up into the top five. Let's see if we can get up there where no one can touch us, because Mac geeks are more fanatical than anybody else out there, and I think we can prove it if we just head over to PodcastAlley.com and vote. So please go over there, you guys. I really appreciate everyone doing that. It does help promote the show. It got us in the USA exposure in USA Today, and I really appreciate it, and I'm sorry to keep harping on it, but I'm not going to make the promise anymore that I won't, because I think it's important to promoting the show. So I appreciate everybody going over there and voting. You can vote once a day, so go there, vote now, vote often. All right. That's the show for tonight. I'm going to leave you with some new music from a band I found over on GarageBand.com. The name of the band is Starfisher. You can find them on GarageBand.com. There's a link from the show notes. You can also visit them at StarfisherMusic.com, which is their official band website. The track I'm going to play for you is Twilight. As always, go to the website, MacCast.com, to get the show notes, all the information and links that I mentioned in the podcast. And keep the emails and audio comments coming, as long as you keep them under 2 minutes. And you can always leave an audio comment on the voice line, 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST8, and the voice line will actually cut you off after 5 minutes, so it won't even let you go longer than 5 minutes, but please try and keep your comments to 2 minutes or less. All right, thanks for everything. I appreciate everybody going over to PodcastAlley.com and voting. This is your MacCast. I'm Adam, and we will see you all next time.
Twilight, it crept into my window softly, and moonlight, it helped me see what you show me.
my back and I feel it. I want you to take me there when I'm laying away.